good morning. It's good to have the early service. These are the ones that get up early, get it first. We want to welcome all of the other campuses of Springs Church. It's so good to have you with us, and we're going to have a great time today in God's Word. Father, as I speak, let your Word and your presence go forth. Help every one of us to fall in love with you, Jesus, and that your Word will take root in our hearts and that it will change everything. In your name we ask, amen and amen. I'm going to title this message today, You Are Enough. And there is a lie that is pervading and prevailing in your world and in my world that we have to deal with. And this is the lie that has been used by the enemy all down through the ages and down through the generations. It's the lie that's stopping you right now from going into the next chapter that God has for you. It's the lie that stops you from believing you could do more or be greater or go further. It's the lie that causes everybody to just kind of bury their talents and giftedness, and they don't lose it. They just kind of plateau. The guy that buried his talent, he didn't lose it. He had it buried where it was of no use. He had it buried where it couldn't be invested. He had it buried where it wasn't taking him anywhere or even advancing the master's cause who had given him that talent. You're not enough. When I deal with people, and people who feel plateaued, people who begin to deal with depression, people who begin to deal with a lot of struggles and areas in their lives, you can literally put your finger on this feeling, even if they don't know it. And the feeling is, I don't know if I'm enough. I don't know if I'm strong enough. I don't know if I'm spiritual enough. I don't know if I'm smart enough. I don't know if I'm righteous enough, because if you knew my past, if you knew what I've done, if you had any idea of where I've come from, I just don't think I'm enough. And this is the lie that the enemy is using on you right now. And the only way you're going to break free is to deal with this head on. And that's what I want to talk about today. I don't care how successful you are. I don't care how great you are in your area, your genre, your career. You are supposed to, for the rest of your life, be growing brighter and brighter. You are to be literally continuing to get results. And life starts at the end of your comfort zone. Starts at the end of your comfort zone. Very few people seem to get out of their comfort zone and believe they can go and do great things. I want to take you to the Garden of Eden. Two perfect, amazing people, Adam and Eve. And I want to read to you from the scriptures. And listen closely to this story. You've heard it so many times before, but it means nothing as knowledge. It only means something as revelation. Have you ever gone back and read a verse you memorized your whole life, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit went bam, and it just exploded, and a curtain was pulled back, and that verse could be applied to something totally new and different in your life? Always be aware. That's what God wants to do with the Word. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. God did not say she couldn't touch it. Then the serpent said to the woman, You'll not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. When you're the original woman made by God from the side of Adam, I wonder how perfectly he made her. All parts of her. I wonder how perfect her body was. I wonder how perfect her mind and her emotions were, and how beautifully fitted she was for a relationship with Adam. Her spirit was alive with the presence of God and in lead position, like the spirit is supposed to be, over soul and body. There was nothing wrong with this woman. There was nothing left that she needed. Even the eating of the tree wasn't going to make her greater, because all it did was allow her to decide what was good and evil instead of God. And all of us need to recognize you let God decide what's good and evil, not you. And that's where mankind has failed. I'm going to decide. I'm going to be God. I'm going to decide. So Eve went and ate of the tree. Now, it's interesting in the scripture that when God spoke to Adam before he created Eve, he said, you can eat of everything here except that one tree. You shall not eat of it. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. But Eve added that in there. And it makes me wonder, how the enemy has, how many times did he come back saying this? And so then he said, well, God knows. You know, I was watching a plastic surgeon, you know, channel hopping, and this plastic surgeon was talking to this woman who was talking to him. On TV, there's everything today. And she was seeing him about some issue with her mouth, I think it was. And then she made this mistake. Is there any other work you think I need? Oh, you're beautiful. I mean, look at you. You're just amazing. Now, you will want to get on top of the crow's feet. Oh. And like the jowl lines, they're coming in a little bit. Oh. Before he was done, he had assassinated the rest of her face and made her convinced that she didn't have one problem with her mouth. She had 10. She was guaranteed now. She needs, and you watch this guy and you go, this guy is good. Oh, is he good? I mean, all these guys, and he didn't say it was bad. He just questioned. Well, you know, I mean, you could think about not sure. Well, you know, you could think about not sure. And by the time he got done, every question went deeper than a comment, because a question makes you think deeper. Whereas a comment can be deflected, a question has the ability to bypass even a belief system, if you're not careful, and begin to take root in your heart and make you begin to think about it. And this is what he did to Eve. He took the most perfect woman that was ever walked this earth, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and he made her doubt that she was enough. God knows you're going to be more. God knows you're going to be greater. God knows. Whoa, are you going to be something when you eat of that tree? These are all the imaginations that begin to, and it's the same stuff that he deals with you and I today, that you're not enough to volunteer. You're just not enough to get up and share your faith. You're not enough to pray. What's your prayer going to do? You're not enough to get up and live out something greater and bigger in your life. Just stay where you are. You know, just Satan is not always trying to destroy everybody. I think he just wants to literally plateau and minimize people. You just sit where you are and do nothing. And this lie begins to be this pervasive lie in Christians that you're not enough. And you begin to think this way, I'm not enough. And I don't think people even realize that. That the reason you won't go and do something is, I'm not smart enough. What happens if I look stupid? I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. And the Bible's got a lot to say about this. Now, as you begin to change your life, you're going to have to make a decision. You see, your beliefs, they govern your actions. And your actions continue to ratify your beliefs. Your beliefs cause your emotions. You got to believe something to be emotionally angry or hurt. And so beliefs to emotions to actions, and then the repetitive cycle. And that actions confirms to you your beliefs that you're not enough, that you're not whatever. And it makes you this emotional down or discouraged, and you continue to act that way. And so your rut in life is long and deep, and you're never going to get out of it. 95% of what most people do is in autopilot. And if you want to break free, if you want to really live, if you dare to start to just dream again that I want to continue to move on, I want to just do things I've never done before, whether it's getting up and speaking in front of a class, whether it's sharing my faith daily or weekly, what is it? So we have to make a decision, because listen to me, God's not going to change you. Well, that's what I was worried about. He's just not changing me. That's because he's already made you complete in him. You are enough. But until you believe it, you're not going to function that way. One of the greatest problems in the church world today, and this issue as well, is that who's got the authority to bring change in your life? Who's got the authority? Well, God never really told me. God never really changed me. God never really touched me. God never really opened the door. God never really gave me the people that I need. God never... Stop. Those excuses. We have the authority. In Psalms 115, 16, I'm going to blow through some scriptures. Watch this. In Psalms 115, 16, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. The people in authority on the planet are people, the human race, which is why even God couldn't come down and change things. He had to come and take on a human body, because the human race has authority on the planet. In Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed Adam and Eve and said to them, have many children, grow in number, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and be its master, subdue it, rule, have dominion over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. He said this to Adam before the serpent walked into that garden. Who was supposed to deal with that snake in the grass? Adam was. Adam and Eve had the authority. What in the world are they talking to it when they had the authority to subdue it, authority to kick it out, and authority to deal with it? This authority has been given to you and I. We have authority over our beliefs. We have authority over our actions. We have authority over this planet and the things that are going on around it. But we tend to take this kind of background, well, gosh, golly gee, I'm going to just pray, read the red, and intercede till I can blast through all of Satan's demonic power and get some results. That's not even Bible. But he's got people with these beliefs that keep them plateaued. Now, how did God change things? How did God do it? Well, if you go to Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God spoke, created with words, with spoken words. And you and I are made in his likeness and in his image. And if you want to know how to deal with deep-rooted beliefs that make you feel like you're not enough, that make you quit and go home, that make you just flow into this plateaued area of your life, then you got to know you've got authority, and the way to exercise authority is to speak. The silence of Adam is the greatest problem in the book of Genesis. We have him talking to his wife, the snake's talking to Eve, and we don't hear anything from Adam till it says he went and partake of it. Why wasn't he speaking up? Why wasn't he commanding it to go? Why wasn't he bringing wisdom to his wife like men and women do to each other? By faith, God spoke the worlds into existence. And when he made the human race, he placed faith in you, the same kind of faith that creates. And here it says in 1 John 5:4-5, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? He even gives us the way to great faith. You see, faith must be active. You must declare what you desire as a finished fact. If you do not speak up, and when you speak words, spoken words have authority in all three realms. Spoken words have authority in the spirit realm. That's how Jesus dealt with the devil. When the devil said, why don't you just do this? And he kept tempting Jesus, and Jesus kept saying, it is written. That authority and that power shut him down and demolished his ability to tempt Jesus off of his mission. Okay? But then the spoken word has power over your own thought life and your brain. We know Dr. Carolyn Leaf, when she was here, talked about how the center of your brain is, the part of your brain that is for speech overrides all the other areas of your brain. And so to speak something is to begin to dominate, to subdue thoughts, emotions, beliefs. And if you don't speak, you're not going to win. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, it is written in the scriptures, I believed, so I spoke. That's Psalms 116:10. Our faith is like this too. Having the same spirit of faith, we also believe, and so we what? Speak. If you don't speak, then any kind of change dies unborn on the inside of you. Too many Christians are on spiritual birth control pills and haven't given birth to a new thought, a new chapter, a new place in their lives. They've allowed the lies of the enemy that you're not enough and God hasn't done enough and no one else has done enough and no one's helping you out and whatever the excuses are. We must understand that authority is the issue here. And it's not authority just once. The spoken word gives authority and faith. The Bible says, without faith, without works is dead. Speaking God's word is crucial to keeping faith active. Yeah, great. You spoke 5 years ago this promise over your kids or over your finances, and you just think because you spoke it once that you're done. No. Daily, it says, the mercies of the Lord are renewed every day. You get up and you speak out, but you prophesy to your life. What it is you're believing is going to be yours. If you don't, no one else will. God did not step in and stop the serpent as he took out Adam and Eve, because God had already given him authority. God had already taught him how to use it. God had already helped him out. Adam needed to get active with his faith. He needed to begin to speak. He needed to begin to subdue. He needed to begin to take authority. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, listen to this. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, in case you can't figure this out, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The response that we need daily in our life is, what is faith? If you were not here a Sunday ago when we talked about forgotten faith, and there's a series out there right now, 4 messages in it on what is faith. How do you get faith? How do you keep faith active? And I challenge you to go through them over and over and begin to walk a life of faith. The word faith has been ridiculed. It's been looked at by others. That doesn't work. I tried it. You don't try faith. You either is or you isn't. Faith is not something that even fails. It can't. Okay? We've got to get in there and recognize, I want to change. I want to grow. I want to rise up. I want to be able to deal with issues that are going on. So Matthew 11, 22, Jesus answered and said to them, because they were looking at something Jesus had done. A miracle took place. And Jesus said, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever, this is an open invitation. It's not just the guys, just the girls, just the adults. You know, it says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. It says, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says, Sal and I, when we first got married, began to work on this one because nobody believes the things they say. Or you wouldn't say, I'm confused. Or you wouldn't say, that tickled me to death. You can say, well, Leon, those are all just little phrases. I understand that, but I'll just tell you what we did. We just made a decision that words were going to be yea and nay, that your words were going to be used to declare the promises of God. And we got in a lot of fights because I'd say something and she'd go, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. She didn't want that in our home, our family, our finances, our marriage, our kids. And finally we said, okay, we've got to stop rebuking each other. Let's do something else. Let's just say, I agree with you in Jesus' name. That was worse. I'd say something, she'd go, I agree with that in Jesus' name. No, okay, take it back. I'm going to stop saying that. And we began to work on the words that came out of our mouth. I found that when I was upset was when I said the worst things. I found that when I got up in the morning, I so badly wanted to tell people how my head was, my achy bones were, how another stinking day. It's like you just want to start talking about how bad things are. It's like we're just trained in Murphy's laws. And we begin to help each other so that our words, that we begin to believe. Today, I believe in the words that I say. And you'll rarely, I mean, there's times I'll slip up because I'm far from perfect, but you will rarely hear me saying things like, I'm confused, or I'll probably get sick, or anything that is negative and against the promises of God. Because we must begin to speak and believe the words that we say. That's why when you study the life of Jesus, that much of what he said, okay, he wouldn't say certain things. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, what you say can mean in the power of the tongue are life and death. Those who speak with care, who love it, value and respect the words they speak, in other words, will be rewarded and they'll eat its fruit. What fruit? The fruit of, this is the expanded Bible. It's a wonderful version that just takes the, and he says, what you speak, you will eat the fruit of it, negative or positive. So begin to declare what God's word says. If you don't begin to declare what the promises of God say, and you don't take authority over your life, who will? The other day, a person asked me if I could pray with them for a miracle in their mom or dad's life. I said, I don't know. What do they want? I said, excuse me? I said, what do they want? Oh, I'm not sure. Well, I can't even pray with you till I know the will of the person I'm praying for. Because if they want to go home, the whole world can pray and they're going home. What's their will? We are free will beings. We are sovereign beings. What you believe brings the emotion into your life. Emotion causes the action. Emotion is more powerful than willpower every time. Actions reinforce what you believe. What you believe brings emotion. Emotion brings action. Action reinforces what you believe. It's a cycle. It's a circle. And truth isn't even in this scenario. They haven't even mentioned truth yet. It's whatever you believe. So we've got to bring truth into here. I've got to finish this message today. So let me do something for you. And here's what I did. I went to portions of scripture that I have learned to speak out of my mouth about one issue. I'm enough. I'm so special. See, a lot of us were raised in denominations where you're good for nothing, filthy rags. Why does God even look at you? What is man that God is mindful of him? And so we've got this really low opinion of people because we were raised in religion. And if you follow on in that chapter, it goes on to say that you're here to rule the planet. But when you allow this lie, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. You're never going to go anywhere with God. So I went and grabbed a bunch of scriptures and I converted them into the first person. And so you must learn to speak them, meditate them. But whenever you confess God's word, you must confess it with passion because emotion is crucial. Emotion is what drives things deeper. So let me read you these scriptures and I'm going to just show you how I do this. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8 and 9. It says, "For I will not believe or talk against the truth. And the truth is that when I am weak, God is strong in me. Therefore, I am complete in Christ." Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, "I am confident of this very thing, that Christ, who has begun a great work in me, will continue it and complete it when Jesus comes for me." Colossians 1, 9, "I am filled with the knowledge of God's will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, I walk worthy of the Lord. I am fully pleasing to him. I am fruitful in every good work. I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. I am strengthened with his might according to his glorious power. I am patient and long-suffering with joy. I give thanks to God who has qualified me for this inheritance as a saint. He's delivered me from the power of darkness and he's adopted me into the kingdom of his dear son whom he loves. Through the blood of Jesus my sins are forgiven." Ephesians 3, 16 to 21. "Because of Jesus, I am strengthened with his might in my inner man. Christ dwells in my heart through faith. I am rooted and grounded in his love. I'm able to comprehend the width, the depth, the length, and the height of God's love for me, which passes knowledge. I am filled with all the fullness of God. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think according to his power that works in me." Genesis 1:26, "God said he made me in his likeness and image to live and to act like him." Colossians 2, 8 to 10, "I will not be cheated by the world's philosophy, but I will live according to Christ. For in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. He is in me and I am complete in him, because he is the head over all authorities and over all power." 2 Timothy 3:16, "I study the scriptures because they are given by God and will teach me doctrine, correct me, instruct me in righteousness, so that I can be complete in him by being equipped for every good work I need to do." So, Leon, that's a whole lot of work. Come on, that was 3 minutes. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God," in the book of Timothy, "as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, and rightly divide the word of truth." The problem today is shallow Christians who want it all, but think that God's going to just keep handing it to them. He's already handed it to you, but it's going to be the word, the incredible, precious, beautiful word of God that you've got to learn, meditate, and you've got to begin to speak it with your mouth. And as you do, you're going to find incredible changes taking place in you. So many Christians believe they're in faith, but the Bible says and teaches us there are two kinds of faith. There's faith from the heart and there's faith from the head. Faith from the head is simply mentally assenting to truth, mentally agreeing with truth. That's not faith. Even confessing the word isn't faith. The Bible says you can't doubt in your heart. And so the speaking of God's word begins to cause you to believe truth over lies. And the word begins to get planted in your heart. And then it begins to come up. The Bible says first the blade, then the ear, and then it's harvest time. And so daily you need to speak the word. And I'm just telling you that in my years of pastoring, the first thing you should probably do as a Christian is recognize how often you fight feelings of I'm not enough, I'm not smart enough, good looking enough, I'm not gifted enough, I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not enough, I'm not enough, I'm not enough, I'm not enough. And every one of these scriptures deals with that one issue. And it comes at it from all these beautiful areas. And I'm challenging you, take these scriptures. You know, when you come to church, I don't know why you come, but I hope it's to change. I hope it's to be confronted by truth. I hope it's to be a part of God's family and to reach out and be a part of this team. And if you do not speak His word and declare what you are like and what you can do and where you will go and how you will, if you're not doing that, who is going to do that for you? Who is going to make sure? I can't. All I can do is teach you. And the Bible says, if you don't mix faith with what I'm saying, it's gone, finished, of no value to you. I often wonder when I come into church Sunday mornings, and I go, okay, I'm going to teach the best of my ability. Jesus, please anoint your word. God, please help me do something here. And I used to be so upset when I'd see people sleeping or nodding off or just glazed eyes or just yakking and talking. And I'm teaching the word of God. And I thought to myself, come on, how do I get them? Then I realized, don't try. On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God exploded in the upper room and they spilt out into the streets, there were those who were confused. There were those who were laughing at them. And there were those who were saved, 3,000. I can't figure out why some people laugh. They're just the laughers. I can't figure out why some people are confused. They're just the confused. But then there's those who believe. And that's who I speak to today. The rest, you're just along for a ride. But if you want to take your life and change it, then get your arrogant opinion out and decide, my opinion will be the word of God. The truth I speak from my mouth will be the word of God. God's word never fails. And unless you make this decision to speak His word, to declare, and by the way, faith is only faith if you consider it done when you say it. If you say, today, I will be healthy, and then you come tomorrow and you're saying, I will be healthy, you're continually speaking into the future. The Bible says faith is in the now. Today is the day of all salvation, all promises being fulfilled. So it'll always be, I am, I have, it is mine. It's not rejecting the reality of pain, heartache, poverty, etc. It's looking past it to the promises, the real truth. Someone said to me, well, Leon, the truth is you're in pain. Oh, I know that, and I'll tell you that. But what I'll tell you is it has no authority to be here, so I declare the presence of God is mine, and He has healed me, and by whose stripes I was healed, so I am, according to God's word. It's about authority and the right to be there. If this is new to you, take these scriptures. You know what I did just before I came up here? I put all these scriptures on my Facebook, exactly in the first person, and I put them all on my Instagram. All you got to do is go there, screenshot it, blow it up, and you'll have a perfect form right there to put into your phone, to put into your iPad, your computer, print it off onto a piece of paper, and there's two sheets of it. And I've already written it, I am, I will, this is who I am, this is what Jesus has done, this is my authority. It deals with authority over Satan, the presence of God. It deals with so many things, power-packed verses. And as you speak them, they'll get planted in your heart. And as you continue day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, declare who you are and that you are enough and that you are complete in Him, it will eradicate. You will feel different in a matter of a couple of days. But don't stop there. The enemy wants to shut you up. He wants to shut you down. He wants you not to have the life that God's got prepared for you. God's got a life that'll blow your mind. He's got something for you that's going to make you so satisfied, so excited, so happy. But the enemy, just like he did to Adam and Eve, has been whispering in your ear a whole bunch of lies. The only way to take him on is speak the word. Father, thank you for your presence. thank you that your word is powerful, amazing, anointed. It is the truth. I pray that for those that are here, Father, who are mixing faith with what they are listening to, for those here who have determined to rise up and to go live their lives the way you've designed them, I pray that today is going to change everything. Because, Father, there's no change unless we start. And this is where we start. Touch them, I pray, in this area. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Praise the Lord.